Hello, church. There's no place I'd rather be than being here. No place. First off, I want to give honor to my mom, my dad, the pastor, and the pastor's wife of the church. How they've led me, guided me, groomed me in my ministry and, you know, as a young man. And I want to thank all of you for letting me make mistakes up here, let me grow up here, and listening to me yell at all of you. No, I'm kidding. But thank you. It means a lot. It's a great honor to speak from the pulpit, a huge honor, one that I don't think anybody who comes up to the pulpit feels worthy of, because it's just so amazing. But let's pray before we get into the service. Jesus, I thank you for what you've done today, and I thank you for what you're already doing. God, I thank you for your word and for your love, Jesus, that fills this house. I thank you for your peace that passeth all understanding, and your joy, your everlasting joy. God, I thank you for our bodies, Lord, that we have the ability to make our ways into this house, God. And I thank you for what you are going to do, Lord. I pray that you'd speak through me, Jesus. May your words, Lord, leave my mouth. And I pray that we all would have our spirits, our hearts, and our minds open to receive whatever it is you want to bring forth. I pray that your word would saturate our spirits and your love our hearts, God. In the wonderful, amazing, mighty, powerful, precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Before you're seated, I'm going to open up with the scripture, Haggai chapter 2, verses 7 through 9. During this time, Haggai, the Israelites had left exile from the Babylonians for approximately 18 years, and they started construction of the second temple. It never finished, and it sat like that with the foundations built for about 17 years. And Haggai comes after that waiting period, and he brings a word from the Lord. It's going to read this in the Amplified. I will shake all the nations, and they will come with the desirable and precious things of all nations, and I will fill this house with glory and splendor, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I shall give the ultimate peace and prosperity, declares the Lord of hosts. You can be seated. I want to talk to you tonight for a few minutes about a greater house. Now, we live in a time where it's chaotic, abundant with evil, lies, sin. It's very discouraging when you walk out of these walls, to be honest with you, and out of the front door of my house. I don't like going to work all the time because of all the obscene speech and all the evil things people talk about, as if it's just normal, as if it's just a thing that, you know, it's fine. But to God, it's not that way. In this house, that this temple that Haggai has been called to prophesy about, there's some promises that come along with it for the Israelites. Now, the promises in this scripture, the intended audience is the exiles from Babylon and Israel itself. But I think we can receive something from us because, you know, if it wasn't for us, it wouldn't be in the Bible. Amen? But the promise of peace and prosperity that God gives to Israel really sticks out to me. But what really sticks out is the word glory and splendor and the fact that the new house will be greater. It'll be the latter will be greater than the former. Now, the first temple built was by Solomon. He built the temple, and it was way more bigger than the original dimensions of the temple. It was greater. It was full of a bunch of gold and jewels. But God responded with this when Solomon built the temple. He responded and said, my name will be there. That's all he said. His name will be there. He did say it pleases him. He did say that it is dear to him. But when we read this, this temple is going to be greater than the temple Solomon built. But it doesn't look as appealing. You see, in Haggai chapter 1, 8 through 10, I'm going to read from the NLT. It says, now go up into the hills, bring down timber, and rebuild my house. God is speaking through Haggai to the Israelites, and he's telling them, start working on my house, because this is when Haggai first comes. This is when the foundations have just been laying for a little over a decade, and they've done nothing with it. Then I will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. Some work had to take place by the people. They had to put some effort in before God would take pleasure in it. You hoped for rich harvests, but they were poor. And when you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Why? Because my house lies in ruins, says the Lord of heaven's armies. While all of you are busy building your own fine houses, it's because of you that the heavens withhold the dew and the earth produces no crops. What's that tell us? It says, it's telling us that it's our duty that whatever we want to receive from God, with this new addition, seating 500 people, it's up to us how much we want to see it grow. It's up to us how we want to represent ourselves. You see, the word glory that they use for promise, that is promised to the Israelites, is in the Greek is doxa. There's two. There's kleos and there's doxa. I know I'm throwing a lot of information your way. I promise I'm getting somewhere. But doxa, it means splendor. Kleos, it means glory and splendor through works. And what's interesting and what stuck out to me was that word glory is the same glory that we represent when we speak of God. We are literally a representation of God. Doxa also means representation, what you're representing, what you speak. That is how you glorify God. That's how you bring glory to his house. What do we know? We are his temple. It says that in 1 Corinthians, we are God's temple. That is how you bring glory to God. How do people notice you to be different? Number one, the way you dress. We do appreciate the way women dress because they do stand out, and I love it. But also the way we represent ourselves, the way we talk. I get teased at work for the way I live because I've spoken about it. I haven't been afraid. Is it annoying? Is it frustrating when they belittle me? Of course it is. Is there going to be better days? Yes, there is. In Jeremiah 33 and 14, God promises Israel and Judah that there will be better days, that there will be a good thing. Keep in mind, this is when they're being, attacked by the Babylonians. When they see this temple that took 20 years to build, the one built by Solomon, just start to lay in ruin, be destroyed. And God's like, yeah, there's going to be better days. I would not respond with, oh, that's good. Oh, I'm looking forward to those better days. I'd be complaining. God, there's better days, but your temple's about to lie in ruin. God, there's better days, but we're being slain. You see, we learn in Daniel how prayer works. In Daniel 7, he prays. He prays for 27 days without a response. On the 27th day, he gets his response. We learn that the moment we pray, a message is sent. The moment. What are angels? Angels are messengers. You see, the moment you pray something, I don't know why I'm saying this, it gets sent out to God. Now, how long it takes for a response to take place, whatever God wants you to learn in that time of waiting, is beyond me. His ways are greater than ours, and especially mine. When you learn about the materials that the Jews were using for the houses, I don't remember what it said. It starts with a P. But it's like a wood that they use that's meant for decoration and meant for beauty, opposed to common stone and brick. It's like coal. Coal's just stone and brick, but me, I'm that beautiful wood. You can't say anything. This is kind of awesome. You can't respond. You can't make fun of me. He can't tease me. He just has to smile there. I love you, Cole. But they were focusing on their own houses. And God's house lies in ruins. You see, is God calling us before we start the addition? Are we waiting to start the addition? God can do anything. If God wanted to, that addition would start tomorrow. We could break ground tomorrow. It doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter about all the science behind it. If God wanted to, he could. But is he calling us to do some housekeeping in the house? Not just this house, but in our own lives. Is he calling us to take a look at our past and say, forget about it? I tried finding some scripture in Revelations that would state that the days to come when the Antichrist is ruling and all that and he's on earth, that there'd be good days. I came to no avail, I'm sorry. But it does talk about all the sin that's going to come. It sounds discouraging, but when you read it, you're like, hallelujah, God's coming closer. I'm not going to lie to you. The worst of things I hear on the news, I'm like, praise God, I get to go to heaven soon. I don't want to be here anymore. God, take me. But it's a sign that there's greater days coming. Revelations 21:4, it says that the former things will be gone away.
The first thing that stuck out of my mind in using this passage was forget your past. Leave it. That's what God wants. Don't let it hinder you. Don't let it bind you when you try and move forward, and especially as we go into this time of housekeeping before we can build this new building. And only God knows of the wonderful things that are going to come. But don't allow your past to hold you back, your past mistakes. If there's anybody that can testify that, it's me. I'm young. I'm making a lot of mistakes. It's a process of learning. I don't like the process of learning. I think it's silly. I just want to know things, and I just want to be good at things. But there's a process. You see, before we can get this building built, before we can see these promises that God has for us, and there are promises he has for us, wonderful things that he's going to do in Ashtabula County. Oh, what was it? Oh, I'm fine. I have it down in my notes. I'm throwing so much at you guys. Oh, I think it was in Haggai. It says it was. It was in Haggai. Because of all the exile, and it was in Zechariah. I apologize. Zechariah and Haggai were both prophets at that time. Now, he speaks to Zechariah, and he talks about how his house will overflow because of all the exiles coming. Now, that is strictly due to the obedience of the people of Israel and the rebuilding of the temple. Strictly. Our obedience in this time of waiting is going to dictate how much that house is going to overflow. Yes, we should not just focus on number, but let's be honest. I think every person in this place wants to reach as many people as they can. I think we want to build that and then overflow the sanctuary within a year or two and give my dad an even greater headache because he's like, oh my gosh, we need to do another addition or build a whole new building. Pastor Todd is like, please, no. He's like, please, he's gonna ask me to do something. But what if that, what if? What if? What if the moment we build that place because of, it's, listen, the blessings and the promises of God are not going to come when that's built. You see, that's the, unfortunately, with excitement, that's what we think. Oh, all the great things are going to happen when this new sanctuary gets built. When this temple gets built, that's when things really start. But that is predicated strictly on how you respond in this time of waiting. You see, what kind of housekeeping is God calling you to do? You know, what has he stuck out in your life recently? What is he trying to tell you? Are we listening? Are our ears open? I love Wednesdays, and I will tell you why. Because my flesh hates it. I came here fasted. My body temperature is dropping. The tips of my fingers feel like I'm going to get frostbite because I got no food in my belly. And that's an issue. Colin needs his food. Ask Brenna. See, she's amening in her head, I promise. But I do. I love food. It's amazing. If you replace the word joy in the Bible with food, it means the same thing. But honestly, I've come here denying myself of food. Unfortunately, since early this morning when I was at work, and I'm like, I'm going to be fasting for 20 hours or more. God, this is, I don't want to do it. But whether I like it or not, I came into this place as I should have. I personally think greater things can happen on Wednesdays than Sundays because we fast. I think if God wanted to do something, if he wanted to speak to you, you would have more, you would have an easier time hearing him on a Wednesday. Please don't neglect how great fasting is. I know we come here and what's on our minds is like, I'm going to go, I'm going to get food after church. I'm going to forget what was spoken, you know, 10 seconds after because food, or whatever I'm fasting. So let us not get so full on the thought of food on a Wednesday, but let me tie into this message. Let us not get so full on the excitement of this new building when we forget about what's really amazing, the process of waiting, the housekeeping. You see, you will feel accomplished not when the building's built, but when it's built and we know we did everything we could do in our own lives and in this church and the building's built. That's when we'll feel fulfilled. That's when God's promises will start coming to fruition in our life. I'm sure God has given some of us promises in this place. He has me. I've been holding on to a vision he'd given me 3 times for our church. The peace I felt was so abundant, I just started tearing up. Because this vision, I just felt it, and I feel like there's some great things for our church. I'm really believing it. But unfortunately, it is not predicated off one man, what one man believes. Yes, our own individuals are the body and the temple of God, but so is this collective body. It's hard to swallow to think that one person could hinder God's work. It is. David sinned. All of Israel suffered. That was one man. And God can withhold his promises. He can. Where is it at in here? I have it somewhere. Ah, yes. Okay. In Haggai 1, the Jews were using materials for their house that was more elaborate than clay bricks. They were using wooden panels. I can't remember the name. Showing us how much more they focused not only on the construction of their homes, but the beauty. And then the house of God just lying in ruin. So much focus on their own lives and edifying themselves and the blessings that they can receive opposed to what God's trying to tell them to do to receive those even greater blessings. You see, this is how the world thinks. This is what we ought to learn from them. Their pockets have holes. No matter what. I work with people making more money than me. And they make good money. Like, some of them are 26 years old making six figures. And then his wife's a nurse. I'm calling him out. I hope he doesn't watch this. But that's a lot of money coming into that household. Nonetheless, they complain about money. Nonetheless, they complain about the economy. Why? Whether we like it or not, no matter how we see it, whether we're filled with jealousy because of the money they make, their holes are full of pockets. Why? There's no servanthood in their life for God. There's none. Please know that when you fast today, your sacrifice is honored. Please know that when you step into the house of God, denying yourself, wishing you'd be doing something else, your sacrifice is honored. God is going to do great things in your life because you do that. God is going to do great things in that new building and in this church in years to come because of our willingness, because of our sacrifice, and because of what we're going to do when the heat comes, when the devil comes and attacks, when there's some hindrance in our lives. That is when your promises are fulfilled. The Israelites learned this. Who wants to build a new building? It's a lot of work and effort on top of them having to take care of their own selves. But God was saying, make me a priority in your life. Make me number one in your life and your promises will come. Your pockets won't have holes anymore. Your crops will be abundant. Haggai was speaking to the current high priest at that time. And he was talking to the high priest. And he was saying, you wish to harvest 20 bushels, but you only harvested 10. You wish to harvest this much. You wish to receive this much wine, but you only received this much. It was because the house of God was lying in ruin. What is God calling you to do? What kind of housekeeping is needed in our lives? I want to be better every day. I fall short every day. There is always something I can work on, but I don't beat myself up. I don't beat myself up when I make a mistake because I know that probably there's going to be a lesson that God's going to teach me. It's amazing how God speaks to you. I was discouraged. I make mistakes. I made them at work. Nothing too great. I promise there's no planes that are going to be falling out of the sky. But I like to watch this. It's an old, it doesn't air anymore, but it's called Kitchen Nightmares with Gordon Ramsay. Oh, man, I love it so much. I do. But He was saying something to somebody. He was calling this person out in their food. And if you don't know Gordon Ramsay, he screams at people. Oh, it's amazing. Anyways, but he's screaming at this person for the way they keep their kitchen, and he's just he's just tearing them up. I mean, just, and you could see this person was getting frustrated. He's like, "Are you getting frustrated and irritated?" And he's like, "Yep." And yep. Like, I'm not going to say anything because I'm going to punch him. That's what that yep was. You could tell he's getting irritated. But then Gordon Ramsay responded with something I thought was awesome. He's like, good. Maybe something's going to come out of it. Or so, along those lines. And I was like, are you telling me when I get irritated and I get angry, it's doing something good? I was thrown in a whirlwind of what to speak tonight. I had different messages I've prepared, and when I'm shaving about to leave your church, God's like, oh, here's a ton of information, here's a ton of stuff you're going to speak tonight. I'm like, wait, please, I'm going to forget. But something I looked into the Redwood Forest, and I looked up about them, you know, how they work and all that stuff. 45% of their nutrients comes from fog, and, you know, the water vapor in it, and I was like, that's interesting. And immediately God spoke to me and he said, when everything seems as clear as mud in your life and you can't see two steps ahead of you, that's when you're being nourished. Please understand that whatever heartache you're having in your life right now, whatever trial, whatever tribulation, as much as I hate it because I'm going through one myself, and Lord, I hate it, but I need to admit that I am being nourished in ways I can't imagine. Even if you're not going through something so horrible in your life right now, in the preparation for this church, for this greater house to come, because there will be a greater house to come, I believe it's a promise from God, and God will honor his promises no matter what has to happen in between. Whether we like it or we don't, he will. His word is true. It is the bread of life. He sticks to it. He is bound to his word. He doesn't lie. So know that if he's spoken to you, it's going to happen. But how we respond in the patience and in the waiting period really dictates how those promises will be fulfilled. Are we only going to get half? Did God say we're going to receive this much, but we only receive this much because of perhaps some unfaithfulness? I've been unfaithful. Not unfaithfulness, a lack of faithfulness. I apologize. I've lacked some faith. All I've had some days is hope to cling on to. That's all I have. And then some days I don't have it, and I'm like, oh man, life is horrible. But honestly, the world's getting horrible. We all see it. But I would like to believe that God's going to do some great things in this latter house, in the latter portions of our lives. Yes, we're seeing some former things pass away. We're seeing some old memories fade away. We're seeing some old memories become even older memories. But that just means the latter house is coming. That just means God's promises are going to come to fruition. Get ready, church. God's going to do something great. The musicians can come. I have the honor of speaking to some of the older kids, age 13 to 15, in my Sunday school class. I love it. It's awesome. We have too good of a time. Sometimes we get sidetracked really bad. But one thing I mentioned them one lesson, I talked about Jeremiah 33:14, and I touched on this, but I want to touch on it again. I have really been clinging that in my own personal life and for the church, that there's going to be better days. And yes, that scripture, it is the promise for Israel and Judah, but I'm kind of claiming it as my own. It's in the Bible. Surely I can learn and I can take from that and apply it to my own life. It might not be specifically for me, but I can use that. I am really believing, and I am really hoping, and I hope you would come on board for some great things to happen. And I'm sure we've all been through some rough things, all of us. Rough things that we think would break us. Rough things that we think would just absolutely tear us apart. And we're like, I'm probably never coming back to church. You know, my life is ruined after this. But you're still standing. And I'm speaking to those of us who are still standing. If I'm honest with you, I don't just want to live. I don't just want to be all right every day of my life. I don't. That's how everybody else lives. I'm called weird often. Yes, I'm weird. I don't want to be normal. I don't want to be like everybody else. I don't want to be like the world. Former things have to pass away for the latter house to come. What kind of housekeeping is God calling us? What kind of season has he put us through to teach us something? What is he trying to teach us? And I pray to God, I hope to God that every day, if he's trying to teach me something, my ears are wide open. That my spirit is ready to be saturated by him and by his voice. That my heart is ready to be overflown with his love. The thing about God's glory that was promised to the Israelites, it is not everywhere. God is omnipresent, meaning he is everywhere. God is here. He's in China. He's in Russia. He's at your workplace right now. He's at your house. He's everywhere. But listen, there are only some things that we can see, and there are only some things that can come when we allow his glory to come in. When we allow his glory to completely saturate our lives and saturate the house of God, there's some great things that will come when His glory comes. His glory, I don't know what we could specifically use, whether it be Kleos or whether it be Doxa, but let's use both. Because we look at His works. Let's not lie to ourselves. We've hoped for some miracles. We still do. Sometimes that's all we've looked at. So let's look at some Kleos glory in our life. Some miracles that might happen. Some wonderful things that will come about. But let's not forget that His original promise and miracle was salvation. Perhaps God's speaking to somebody in this place to just be thankful for salvation. I'm not saying He is. And I'm not saying He isn't. But maybe it's been forgotten in our lives. Was it camp this year? It was. He talked about salvation and His original promise. Miracles, they just came along the way. We understand this. Sometimes we hope for them, and that's okay. But let's understand that when we appreciate His glory, His salvation, what comes with Him, you know, just all of that, not necessarily His miracles. His miracles just come along the way. And that's when doxa comes in. Doxa is His splendor. Doxa is Him. It's Him. It's His beauty. It's His splendor. Could we all stand in this place? I don't know what's going on in your life. Some, perhaps, because I'm close to you. Some, perhaps not. I don't know if today you're like, you know, it's the last day I'm going to live. You know, I'm going to go home and I'm just, you know, whatever. You know, I'm just existing right now. I'm not having a great time. There might be somebody in this place who's having the best season of their life. Good for you. But there also might be some in this place who are just weary, tired. Tired of this world, tired of the lies they hear every day. But church, work and effort are needed to be put in for those promises to come, for that change that we are dying to see in our church, in our lives, in the world. Yes, there's going to be a great falling away, but who's to say there's not going to be a greater coming to the house? Who's to say that God's greatest miracles, His greatest signs and wonders, that the most promises that are going to come to fruition, they didn't just pass. That time isn't past. What if it's what's coming? What if it's when this house, His new house is built? What if it's when we do some housekeeping in our lives? Could we come up front? If this word spoke to you, good. If you're going to use it in weeks or years to come, which I'm sure everyone in this place will, awesome. If you think you could have used this and you're like, man, I really wish I would have known this, that's okay. But let's take some time right now. Let's let God do some housekeeping. Let's not let the thought, I mean this in a funny way, but also serious, let's not let the thought of that food or whatever we were fasting, if we fasted today, and if you didn't, that's okay. That's okay. But let's not let that just overrule this time at the altar. Amen. Let's dig in. Let's see some change. Let's receive some words from God or some promises. Amen. Let's pray together. If you want to, if appropriate, lay your hand on somebody next to you. They might need it. Jesus, thank You for Your word. Thank You for God, the way You work. It's frustrating for us sometimes, I admit it. I haven't liked the way You work, but I know that it's for the better. It's for the betterment of this church. It's for the betterment of myself and for the betterment of humanity. You know what we're doing. Your ways are higher than ours, God. They are so much more greater. I pray that our ears, God, would be wide open to Your voice. That our ears, Jesus, would just be saturated by Your words, by any promises that maybe You're just waiting to pour out in our lives. Maybe, God, You just want to remind us of some promises You've given us that perhaps the trenches of life have taken away from us. God, I pray that people in this place would respond to Your call. They'd respond to what they need to do. God, convict us. Step on our toes even though it hurts. But Lord, please remind us of the hope that You have. God, of the promises that You have for us. Let us not, because of our lack of faith or whatever the case may be, lose or miss out on a promise. God, do some amazing things in this place and in the future. Let us have that understanding. Church, pray tonight. Let your ears be open to God. Let him saturate your spirit tonight.
It's great are you, Lord. And great are you, Lord. And great are you. And great are you. the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy. You've got a lion inside of those hearts. Get up and praise the Lord.
Oh, come on, my soul. And come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. And come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Oh, and come on, my soul.
And come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. Cause all that I have is a hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I have nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah.
You could just join me as we close in prayer tonight. Lord God, we thank you. God, I just thank you for this word that was brought to us tonight, Jesus. And God, I pray as we leave this place that you would just be with us. God, just put your hand of protection as we leave and we drive home, Lord. God, we just thank you and we just praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can continue to pray or you are dismissed in Jesus' name.